Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Tracy Kennedy, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2023. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. I'm very glad to be with you this morning.
You're new on the job. How did you get to this position?
Sure. So I've been at Catholic Charities for about 10 months now. Previous to my time here, I worked at St. Thomas, which is a local Catholic parish. And so I've been very familiar with the work of Catholic Charities over the years. And when my predecessor decided that it was time for her to retire, I thought, well, that's something I want to look into. I figured I could kind of just ride out my future working years, but I decided I wanted to do something and make a true impact and difference.
Well, we're talking about Wendy Glick, your predecessor. That's going to be a tough act to follow, don't you think?
Yes. And I have noticed that already. She did wonderful things for the agency, and really the position that the agency is in now, which is great. We're just in a great position is because of Wendy. So I commend her for all of her hard work and the strategy she put behind everything.
So your background, you told me off the air you're from Omaha, been around to KU, and then what did you do before you came then down to Wichita? Anything?
Sure. So my first job was actually in Wichita. I graduated from KU with just a undergraduate liberal arts undergraduate degree with an emphasis in nonprofit management. So over the years, I've worked at different nonprofits here in town. My first job was for American Cancer Society, and that's what brought me to Wichita. I've also had the opportunity to work in the for-profit world as well.
Okay.
So nonprofit, I guess, has always just been in my heart.
Can you describe the work of Catholic Charities in one or two sentences for us?
Sure. So when people ask me that, what I like to tell them is that we serve the people who are in the most need, those people who are experiencing poverty, abuse, homelessness, or living with a disability.
Okay. Geographically, do you serve just Wichita then?
No, we don't, actually. We are affiliated with the Catholic Diocese of Wichita, which spans a 25-county area of the state in south-central and southeastern Kansas.
That's just going to say it goes down clear into southeast Kansas as well, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Now, Tracy, how many people do you think you serve in a year's time at Catholic Charities and all the things
sure.
that you do?
Mm-hmm. So last year, our fiscal year runs July 1 through June 30th. And so last fiscal year, we provided just more than 113,000 individual services, and that equaled about 13,000 people.
Good gracious, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people, and the demand is only growing.
Yeah, impact on a lot of families, right?
Most definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about hunger. Tell us about our Daily Bread Food Pantry to kick off here.
Sure. So our Daily Bread Food Pantry is one of our core ministries here at Catholic Charities, and clients can visit us once a month to get food for their family. It's a client choice model, which basically means the people who visit us get to actually shop for the foods that they think their families will like. We think that's really, really important when we are trying to preserve the human dignity of the individual, is to allow them to choose what they would like to feed their family.
So how do you put the stuff on the bread on the shelves at the pantry? Do you have to go buy that retailer? How's that work?
Not retail. We do have a partnership with the Kansas Food Bank, and we have a lot of community partners who support us with in-kind donation drives.
Does Catholic Charities do anything special around the holidays? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And things are buzzing around here right now. So specifically at our shelters, we have Santa visit both shelters, and at ADS, we have Christmas parties. We want Christmas to be like it is Christmas at home for our families and the adults and children who are in our shelters. So one thing we do year after year is we collect donations of home goods or anything that adults and, of course, toys for children need. And then we allow those who are staying with us to actually have a shopping experience and go into a little store and get to shop for gifts for their family.
Okay, that's Christmas. Anything around Thanksgiving or any of the other holidays?
Well, anytime we have anybody in shelter, we try to replicate a home environment as much as possible. So on Thanksgiving, we have Thanksgiving dinner, just like you would at home.
Right.
We want people to be comfortable. And quite honestly, when people are in shelter, the people who are there with you become family as well.
Tell us about St. Anthony Family Shelter, Tracy.
Sure. So St. Anthony Family Shelter is an emergency homeless shelter for families. We are the only shelter in town specifically for families. People stay typically for 30 to 45 days, just enough time for us to get them on their feet, possibly and hopefully obtain stable housing, employment, and things like that.
Now, and how do you select the families? I mean, how do you know who's going to be in the shelter? How do they come to you?
Sure. Most people who come to us are people who are on the brink of homelessness and they just can't afford to live. For example, we might have a family who gets an eviction notice because they have chosen to pay for childcare so they can work instead of paying for their rent. And so those are the people that come to us. We have 13 rooms at St. Anthony Family Shelter. We are always full, and we're turning away 6 to 10 families every day.
Wow. How long do families usually stay in the shelter?
At St. Anthony, it's about 30 to 45 days since we are categorized as an emergency shelter.
And then you do your best to find a new place for them to go, I suppose, right?
That is correct. So we have partners in town that help us, different landlords. And, you know, the key there is finding affordable housing, something that our families can actually sustain once they are out on their own again.
Is our community doing all we can to help the homeless? That calls for...
That is a hot topic.
That is calls for you to make an opinion, but what do you think?
Yes. So, you know, I think that from what I have seen in our community, we have excellent service providers who are doing a lot of good work. We already work together and collaborate, but I do think, and we are working together to find a longer-term, more collaborative approach to the homeless situation. And there's all different levels of homelessness, Steve, if you will. We have our brothers and sisters who live on the street. We have the people who come to us at St. Anthony Family Shelter. So trying to look at all the different facets of that is quite complicated.
I know. I think you hit the nail on the head, if I may. I've been watching this for the past, I don't know, now 15, 20 years it's been developing, and there are a lot of people working on it and a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but it's not easy because it seems to me every homeless case, every person's a unique individual with unique problems.
That's exactly right. And the people in our community probably think of those who are living on the street as homeless. And unfortunately, a lot of those individuals are dealing with mental health issues or addiction issues. And so that just provides, you know, a pretty tough barrier to overcome those things before we can even address the homeless situation.
Yeah, and I look at Catholic Charities. You don't have to be a Catholic to get help from Catholic Charities.
No. No, we like to say we serve because we are Catholic, not because the people we serve are Catholic. Catholic Charities actually means love universally, and that's what we try to do. So we serve everybody and anybody within our 25-county area.
Here's another problem that I've been watching for several years, and that's a problem in the community, domestic violence and sexual abuse. And this is where Harbor House takes the lead, right?
That is correct. So we have a ministry called Harbor House, which is a domestic violence shelter. We also have outreach programs through Harbor House. And yes, it is definitely something that is an ongoing problem, and the problem is actually growing. Last year in our city, I believe there were two homicides related from a domestic violent relationship. This year already, now of course we're almost in the end of the year, but there have been 11 homicides. So it is definitely something that is on the rise. We're also seeing more victims of human trafficking, and we serve those individuals at Harbor House as well.
Oh, I hadn't heard those statistics. Wow, that is that is alarming. And
it is very alarming.
Again, this is another challenge. It's not easy because you do have a relationship between human beings, and I know that in the abusive situation,
right.
I've done entire programs on the abusive situation and how that affects people in their families, not just women,
right?
But entire family, right?
It really does. And last year, I think Harbor House took around 12,000 crisis calls. So just, you know, looking at that, 12,000 people called in because they were experiencing domestic violence. That is very significant.
Okay. Now, how do you get folks out of Harbor House and back into the community? You just don't open the door and say bye-bye, do you?
No. So we have we actually have 12 rooms at Harbor House, and so we can house individuals or usually women with children in Harbor House as well. So the first thing that we do when somebody comes into shelter is create a safety plan, because obviously they are fleeing from a very dangerous situation. That's the very first thing that we do. And then our case managers work with our clients to develop what is basically a personal service plan. And in that service plan, they will outline the goals the client has to meet before they are able to go back out into the community and be on their own. And so, you know, some of those goals are similar to what we talked about, what we do at St. Anthony Family Shelter. It's find employment. It might be take a parenting class, take a financial literacy class, find affordable housing, figure out how to pay for back utilities. So after clients have kind of worked the program and have met the majority of their goals, then the case manager has the ability to decide if they are able to go back out into the community.
Sadly, the abuse story doesn't always have a happy ending, but you know, it occurs to me that are there repeaters? I mean, do you have people who actually come back to you? Because I know that the problem goes on and on.
Yes, we have a lot of people who come back to us. Yep. You know, domestic violence is something that deals with psychology as well. And so, you know, in order for somebody to flee for good, there's a lot of things that have to come together for that person to, you know, take that final step.
Right. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Tracy Kennedy, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of Wichita. Now, how does Catholic Charities pay the bills?
Well, that's a good question. So we have an operating budget that is just over $11 million, and that's for our 13 ministries. And we have three main revenue streams. We have grants, both public and private, philanthropic dollars, and client-paid fees. And so with all of that, we can sustain our operations.
Very good. Now, and what about fundraising activities? I know at least you have at least a couple, right, that I know of?
We do. So we have some smaller events that we may have supporters host on our behalf, and we have a year-end appeal that we mail out every year, which is a huge fundraiser for us. We do a special campaign called the Queen Bee for our shelters each fall, and we do a lot of just building of personal relationships to, you know, for people to support our efforts.
Tell me about Queen Bee. How does that work?
Sure. So the Queen Bee is actually a campaign. This year we had 8 women who represented us and raised money on our behalf. So basically these women have an affinity for the shelters, Harbor House and St. Anthony Family Shelter. They spread the good word about the work that we do there, and then they ask for people to support the shelters. And this past year, just in the last few weeks, we raised almost $200,000 through our Queen Bee campaign.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of honey.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Sorry for the pun there, but
no, that's okay.
tell us about support from the local business community.
Sure. So we do have businesses that support us year after year, and in most of our efforts, we have a lot of match partners who will come up with a match, so people will essentially their gifts will be doubled. I will admit we have some work to do with getting better connected with the business community. And I think some of that is just getting out there and educating people about who we are and what we do.
I want to talk about just a couple of services or programs that you do. Of the so many. Mm-hmm. What about, tell me about support for veterans.
Sure. So our SSVF program, which is Support Services for Veteran Families, is a program where we find housing for homeless veterans. And this is one of our more complicated ministries because, quite honestly, it's not just finding housing. We might have vets who come to us who have no identification. They have no paperwork. We have to kind of start from ground zero before we're actually able to, get them to the final step of finding, getting them moved into housing.
All right. What about adult day services? What is that?
So adult day services is a day program for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as seniors with dementia, Alzheimer's, loneliness, or frailty. And so it's basically a place where our participants can come and they, get to engage in social activities. They get to engage in community activities. And it's a place, too, where, the caregivers can actually know that they're the ones they love are in good and caring hands, and they can get some respite themselves.
Is that in just one physical location, or do you have a satellites on that?
It is in one physical location. Okay. So just a few years ago, we did a large capital campaign to buy and renovate a building. So we have a beautiful facility on the sort of west side of town. We can actually, our capacity is we could have up to 200 participants in that program. And we are still growing. We have about 150 who are enrolled right now.
So what kind of things do they find when they come in there? Are there social activities, games?
Sure. We have an activities director.
Yeah.
So we have several different classrooms. And so we might have, 10 to 15 individuals in one classroom. And yes, it's very social. We have activities. We do community outings as well, which is a big deal. Everybody loves that. But for example, we're doing a Christmas program here next week. The facility itself has a beautiful courtyard in the middle of it. So sometimes when somebody just needs to cool off a little bit or just needs some fresh air, we know our participants can go in there and get some fresh air and swing, and we can, keep an eye on them. We also have a beautiful recreation area for our participants. And so, lots of things they can do outside. In the summer, we have splash pads and things like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Hey, tell us about the foster grandparent program. I'm a grandparent.
Sure. Yes.
I'm interested in that. Tell me.
Sure. The foster grandparent program, and this is one of the ministries that I was probably most confused about when I first started, but basically we take seniors and we match them with schools or locations that have children with exceptional needs. So we have grandparents in a lot of the 259 schools. We have grandparents at our own shelters as well. And so they work one-on-one with these kiddos as well as within groups, and they help them in the school environment learning how to read and things like that. The key here is, though, is the grandparents actually are low income, so they have to meet a financial threshold, and then they receive a stipend for the work that they do in the program.
Do you have to do any venting or training on something like that?
Yes. Okay. So foster grandparent program is actually grant funded through the AmeriCorps, and there's a lot of background checks that we have to do, intensive training, professional development opportunities as the years go on for the grandparents as well.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how many foster grandparents you have in your foster grandparent corps right now?
So I can tell you we don't have enough.
That's an honest answer. Not enough.
Yes. So, we are finding there are more and more needs for foster grandparents, but we're also finding that foster grandparents or people in that age group are actually not available as they were in the years past. A lot of people are actually providing daycare for their own grandchildren, which makes basically our market or our pool shrink. So it's been a challenge of trying to figure out where we can recruit.
You just mentioned something there. I understand it's a huge problem for our community and others, and that is finding affordable child care as people go to work and try to fill these jobs we have open. Is there anything that Catholic Charities is doing with with childcare, things like that?
Well, not right now, but it is in the back of our mind.
Well, I'll bet so I was going to say it's about something you're probably going to be planning about because it's big.
Right, right. And so, I mean, with our clients, I mean, most of them need to find affordable child care, and it's just not available.
Wow.
And so, and for our staff as well. So we may do some exploring into that arena, but of course, you know, with child care, there's lots of regulations. And even if we decide to do it, I mean, the first thing we would need to look at is would we be able to sustain the ministry?
Right.
So, you know, in the future, it may be something that we're able to offer, but not at this time.
What is, what's CANA counseling?
CANA counseling is a psychotherapy practice.
Ooh.
So we have registered therapists there who help people who are struggling with mental health issues or just need support in, you know, different ways.
What kind of immigration services do you offer, Tracy?
We have a very successful and busy immigration services ministry. So we help people who have permission to be in our country. We help with employment authorization, visas, travel permits, adjustment of statuses, and naturalization. And we actually have one caseworker who just became fully accredited through the Department of Justice, and she can basically do everything that an immigration attorney can do for clients. So that has really boosted our business, if you will.
Do you assist with disaster recovery at Catholic Charities?
We do. We do. So one of our 13 ministries is disaster recovery. When there's a disaster, for example, a couple years ago when we had the Andover tornado, United Way comes in and they actually manage it. But then Catholic Charities provides case management service. So that's what we did after the Andover tornado.
What's on your planning for the future? What's on the big planning board there? Anything?
Well, the big planning board is to keep doing what we're doing, but do it better. We want to become an employer of choice, and we want to be able to meet all the barriers that our clients come to us with. One of my priorities is, as we mentioned before, we don't just serve Catholics, so we need to gain support from outside the Catholic community, and that is one of the priorities that I have personally.
Do you have a staffing problem? Everybody seems to have. We can't get enough workers. Are you having that kind of problem?
We do. We have a staffing.
Wow.
We have 24 open positions right now.
Really?
And yes, we have 115 employees, and we have 24 open positions, and it is a huge issue for us.
What kind of, service? Social workers or specialties, anything like that?
Most definitely specialties. So where we have the majority of our openings are at adult day services and in our shelters. So most of the time it's people who have a passion for the work we do are the people that we employ. So, you know, and they do hard work, Steve. It's hard work what we do. And so it takes a special person to fill those positions.
Okay. And do you need volunteers? I'll bet you do.
Oh, yes, yes. We need lots of volunteers. So we actually, our ministry, our Daily Bread, we have one staff person there, and it's completely run by volunteers. So we need regular volunteers. We need groups of volunteers. You know, we have people who come up and, you know, clean up our landscaping and grounds at the shelters and things like that. So, and I like to tell people, you know, if somebody comes to us and they want to volunteer and we don't have, you know, something specific for them to do, we'd love to work with them to figure out, you know, where their passion lies and where they could help us. Excuse me.
Best way to contact you for any of
these
things?
Best way to contact us is to look at our website, CatholicCharitiesWichita.org, or give us a call. Our office number is 264-8344. And, you know, anybody who would like to join us in our mission, we would love to hear from.
Could you tell me what is maybe the one biggest challenge that Catholic Charities faces right now?
Well, of course, probably like most other nonprofits, it's funding. You know, when we're looking at our staffing shortage, we know that we have to be able to compensate people well. And so, you know, a lot of it does just come back to funding. And so we need to make sure that our three funding streams are still appropriate. We need to grow those funding streams. And, you know, if we want to keep doing the good work that we're doing.
What gets you out of the bed in the morning, Tracy? What motivates you?
Mm-hmm.
To do your work?
You know, we are all called to serve the poor. And, what gets me out of bed is just thinking about all those people that we serve every day. Yeah. And it may not be significantly, but even just the little wins that we have, that's really what gets me out of bed every day.
All right.
And I will, you know, the people who work directly in our ministries, they are amazing. And so I try to think of them every day and the hard work they do.
Well, listen, thanks for being with us. Our guest is Tracy Kennedy, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Thanks, Steve.
And we will see you next week. Thank you, Tracy.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.